In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Even unbelievers know that Christians are to love. But what they don't know is that love is a summary of the Ten Commandments. But I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you. You who believe in Christ and who believe the Word of God is the very words by which you are to live. And even we forget that. We forget that love is a summary of the Ten Commandments, so if we were to define what love is, we must write out those Ten Commandments. We can't write anything else, or else we would be wrong. Love is not subjective, but it is objective. It is built in truth and reality. It endures, regardless of the lack of knowledge, regardless of one's changing life. And even when passion is gone, love remains. It is shown to both friend and to foe. A decent definition of love is doing what is best for someone else. Now, the world wants what is best to be subjective toward that individual, that he gets to determine whatever is best. But the Christian knows better. The Christian knows that the Ten Commandments are what is best, not only for me, but for all. These are not some harsh, restrictive commands that hinder our freedom and rob us of joy. But these are gracious invitations from God that show us what true freedom is and reveal a joy in a life that flourishes underneath its God. That is why Jesus affirms the lawyer's response to love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. A perfect summary of God's law. We love God by having no other gods. A god is whatever you love the most. It can be a person. It can be another religion. It can be an object. It can be money. It can be an idea. It can be almost whatever you want it to be. But which of these other things can actually help you? The reason that you love these things so much and you think that just having a little bit more money will just ease your life, or just having a better relationship with your spouse will make your life better, the reason you love those things so much is because you think that they can provide something for you. They can take away the hurt, whether it's a financial hurt or an emotional hurt, that they can grant you that lasting peace and joy. There's a hole in our heart, and if we can just fill it with enough money or with enough good friends or with the right spouse, then all will be better. That is to love another god. These other gods pass right on by on the other side, leaving you mortally wounded, dead in sin, and destined for hell. It's not that your family wants you to perish eternally, it's just there's nothing they can do to stop it. They can't fix your life. Their kind words, their gentle embrace, their lavish gifts only dress you up in the fashion of King Tut. Beautiful on the outside, but dead on the inside. The gifts and love that we have shown to others is about the same. We cannot save this world, and we cannot save those who are in this world. We are not gods. So why would we love someone else more than God? Only he saves. Only he fills that longing in our heart with a true and a lasting peace. Only he comes to where you lay dead in sin. Notice that this story does not speak about Jesus coming down to die for us, but it speaks about how that death is given to us. Only he bandages up your mortal wounds, pouring on his own blood and filling you with his Holy Spirit. Only he wraps you in his righteous garments. Only he picks up your bloodied corpse and carries you to where you need to be so you might be nursed back to life. Love the Lord your God with all that you are because he has proven himself to you in holy baptism. He has done what no other God has dared to do, say what no other God can do. He has redeemed. Love him by believing in him. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods, is a gracious invitation to believe in the only God who can save you from death and hell. The only God who can fix this world. So tell me how that is a harsh burden, a restrictive command to steal your joy, when in fact it does the exact opposite. It sets you free to live in his grace and love. So to love God is to believe that he and he alone is the Good Samaritan, and that you are the mortally wounded man. Thus, God is God, and you are the creature. God alone is the Savior, and you are the saved. That love for God spills into actions. The second and third commandments show you how to love God. We love God by praying in his name. He gave us his name so that we might call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks for a sunrise and for healing from cancer. Giving thanks for a simple piece of toast in the morning and for a newborn child. For all things are good gifts from our Heavenly Father. The idea of karma never crosses our minds. For the world or things are not getting back at us or righting the wrongs, but God himself, who redeemed us with his own blood, is in control of our lives. And so in his name we pray, not to some distant, aloof God, but to a loving, tender Father who is near and dear. Not to some emotionless, stoic deity, but to a loving and tender Father who uses all his might and power and wealth for your good. We love him by praying in his name. We love him by hearing his word. You cannot know God apart from his word. You cannot know who this God is who has filled up your heart and your life unless you know his word. That is why I encourage you daily to study and meditate upon that word. It's why we sing it clearly, why it's preached boldly. Only the word reveals who the God is that saves. We preach Christ crucified, a crucified God who now comes in our time and place, just as that Samaritan did, who comes to us where we are, so that he might pour his healing out on us. Faith longs for him. And so faith longs for his word. You cannot have God apart from that word. So tell me again of your Christmas. Tell me again of your miracles. Tell me again of your teachings. Tell me again your death and resurrection. Tell me again how you lived and died for me, how you washed me, how you promised me not only life on this earth, but an eternal life with you. To love God is to desire his word. To love God is to believe that word. Are these really harsh, restrictive commandments? No. They are gracious invitations to believe in God and to go where he is present for you. Thus, the first table of the law. Yet we must also love our neighbor as ourselves. Love by honoring your father and mother. Your father and mother is the ultimate authority in your life. There is no greater authority, whether you are 7 years old or 77. There are other authorities, such as pastor and government official, but father and mother is chief among these even. Honor them. Because honor is greater than love. Honor is an action. It shows in your life. Honor, because honor is greater than obedience. It is an action that flows from a loving and joyful and willing heart. So of all of God's commandments, this commandment we despise the most among each other. We think it is our right to dishonor those who are in authority because we know their mistakes, their faults, and their failures all too well, whether it be a pastor, a parent, or a government official. They have to earn our respect, we say. God says they do not. He says you owe them that respect because of where he has placed them. Our independence is a wonderful thing, but you can see how we abuse our independence by making ourselves above these authorities. Can you imagine what life would be like if all honored their father and mother? Children would captivate the hearts of their parents day after day. Citizens would flourish and prosper economically. Prisons would be emptied. And parishioners would be blessed beyond their wildest dreams. We'd have joy in every aspect of our lives if we just honored father and mother. Love also by helping and supporting your neighbor in every need. Your neighbor is anyone that you meet. Love them by giving them your full attention. Yes, exchange those pleasantries that society dictates, but actually give them your attention, even if it just be for a brief moment, and care about them, even if it's just a simple answer, rather than rushing by on the other side because they have somehow inconvenienced your life. You are really not that important. Love also by chastity. Give your body, your heart, and your mind to your spouse and to your spouse alone. Be emotionally supportive, mentally engaged, and physically available. Every relationship needs work, and you know that. So put in the work. Don't do the bare minimum by simply asking how was your day and responding fine. Don't only talk about kids or the weather, but love your spouse by actually putting in the work to think of a way that you can converse with them and develop that relationship. Love also by withholding your body, your heart, and your mind, and your emotions from those who are not your spouse. For only your spouse has the full rights of you. Love by improving and protecting the private property of others. It is a gift from God. Do not be a burden to others, but use what you have to help others. Don't pass by on the other side by shaking your head at the dumb decisions that they made that ruined their lives while patting yourselves on the back for the good decisions you made. But show them love by helping them in their need. And yes, sometimes that means showing them tough love by giving them nothing. Love by speaking well of others. Gossip, for some reason, is prevalent among us, and we love it. We sinfully love it. But use your words to cover their sin. Social media has only exacerbated this. Don't silently pass by, but speak the truth in love because you are your brother's keeper. You are. You owe it to them. And perhaps you have been put in this situation for just this occasion. Encourage them. Point out their faults, even as you want others to point out the faults of you. But do it in a loving way to encourage, to build up, so that they might improve their reputation. Thus, you see, our entire life and our entire heart is captivated to the Word of God and these 10 so simple commands. 10 gracious invitations from our God to live like Him. He defines love, not us, and certainly not our society. Our love flows from Him. So love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Or to say it in this way, believe in God and serve your neighbor. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.